Okay, the purpose of this class is to learn how to do your daily practice, your daily meditation from scratch, okay? Assuming that you've never had one daily meditation that you do, and the whole thing is meant to start from scratch. Last week we talked about some of the preliminaries. Meditating is like jogging, and you have to do certain kinds of warm-up before you start meditating. And a lot of the reason why people don't learn to meditate well is that they don't know how to do the correct warm-up. It's like trying to run a race without stretching first or something like that. So there's a very specific warm-up that you do, and it makes your meditation a lot more powerful. The basic function of the warm-up is to get your mind into neutral and then collect a lot of good karma and then to wipe out a lot of bad karma. And that whole exercise means that by the time you start meditating, the meditation goes very powerful, very good. Okay, so you have to know how to do those three things. First, get your mind off the worldly stuff, and then collect some powerful good karma for the meditation, and then to wipe out some of the negative karma that's in your mind, okay, that might block your meditation. And if you don't do those things, it would be like running a really fast race without warming up first, and you might hurt yourself, or maybe it wouldn't go so well. And I personally think the reason that a lot of Americans don't learn to meditate deeply is that they don't know about the preliminaries. This warm-up routine was invented by the Buddha, okay? And it's in the sutras. It's in the 500 BC, 2,500 years ago. There are explanations of this warm-up that you should do before meditation. It's called Joy Chaduk. So we're going to go through part of that warm-up now. We did a little bit last week. I'll do a little bit more this week, and then we'll build up on it. And then we'll go to a basic daily meditation. Okay. So what we mentioned last week was waking up. Okay. And assuming you do your practice in the morning, which you don't have to, but most people are more fresh in the morning. I worked in a corporation for 16 years, and the only thing I could do when I got home was watch TV. Because I was so exhausted, and it was like a 2-hour commute, and you know, I know that I don't think it's going to work too well in the evening. Morning generally is better. It's not necessarily the case, because if you work at night or something, you might be fresher in the evening. So it's important first to wake up. Then tradition is that you wash out your mouth, make sure your mouth is clean. Okay. And then drink some kind of liquid. It's not good to eat, okay, because that disturbs your meditation. Should have in your house a sacred space that's dedicated to your meditation. It's a part of your room, or if you have a big enough place, it's a separate room. But that part of your space is only used for meditation. It's not a good idea to meditate on your bed or something like that. Your bed is full of all these sleep vibrations. And, you know, the minute you get on it and try to meditate, you get sleepy. So I have friends who, they block off a corner of their room with a Japanese screen, and that's pretty good. Leon, who lives in a little room back here, he uses these nice sheets that come from the ceiling and come down, he made a little room out of those sheets, and they're a beautiful red color, and it seems to be very nice for meditating. So you want to try something like that. Make a sacred space in your house. Get some kind of an altar. Could be a little table, put some kind of holy being on it, okay? And that's to represent that during your meditation there should be some holy being present, okay? Put out some kind of offering, like some kind of beautiful thing every morning. You know, go get a flower, get one the night before, or some fruit, or your favorite bagel, or whatever you like. But should be something beautiful offering on the altar and fresh every morning, okay? And don't be lazy about it. Make it pretty every morning, okay? Clean up the altar, clean up the room. There shouldn't be, you know, I have friends who, I went to watch a friend who's a dancer, and I remember I put my sweater down on the floor, and they said, no, you don't do that here, you know? And I'm like, it's a big place, who cares? And they said, no, it ruins the feeling of the place, you know? Like, there shouldn't be anything that would ruin the feeling of the place. I mean, the whole place, wherever you meditate, it should be sacred space. Nothing that's not sacred should be lying on the floor or anything like that. The whole space is perfect, and the whole space is dedicated to meditation, and there's no newspapers on the floor, and there's no other junk laying around and things like that. The whole space is sacred, and it's a little capsule in New York City where you do your meditation. Speaking of capsule, if you can make the place quiet, it's better. You know, it's very difficult in the summer, like in this room. There's not much you can do. Some people try earplugs and they work. Other people, they bother them. You might want to try to get up early enough to make sure it's a little quieter. Like a lot of the people I know who have families, they like to get up like an hour before everyone else gets up and they do their practice. Okay. Which brings me to another subject. You do need to sleep well, to meditate well. You have to get enough sleep. You have to eat well. You have to take care of your body. Okay. If you have that kind of body, and everyone has a different body, you should be some kind of exercise, yoga, dance, something, jogging, some kind of gym or whatever. But whatever is necessary for your body to be healthy, especially your back. It's very important that your back be straight. Okay. Then you go and you start your meditation. Have to have a cushion that should have two parts. The lower cushion should cover your knees and your thighs, okay? Like some people I've seen, they have a good cushion under their butt, and then the knees and the thighs are on the bare ground or on the cement or on the wood. That's not good. And then your feet and your legs fall asleep and your knees start to hurt. So also it's bad if they get cold, and it's bad if it's too warm, okay? And I always tell people the layer look is good, you know? Just keep taking them off and putting them on. If you get too hot, take off the sweater or take off the shirt and have an undershirt under there. If it gets too cold, then put it back on. Your pants should be loose. Your shirt should be loose. Okay, everything should be loose. That's important. And after you finish the lower part of your seat, then have a seat under your butt, which brings the back, your back up higher than the front. Okay, so it should be kind of slanting, and that the back is, the spine is up higher, and the knees are down lower. So the spine is like forced up a little bit straighter. Okay. Then if you want to do a full lotus, which is probably too uncomfortable and distracting for most people, you put your left foot up on your right thigh first, and then you put your right foot up on your left thigh, like that. Okay. If it's uncomfortable for you, which it will be unless you practice all the time, it's better to do a half lotus. Half lotus, you put your right foot up on your left thigh first, and then your left foot up, your left foot on the ground, okay, like that. So it'd be your right ankle up on your left thigh, and then your other leg can just sit under there. And that's called a half lotus, and that's fine. That's a good way to do it, okay? The specific posture that I'm teaching you comes from ancient India, 2,500 years ago, Vairochana's 7-point or 8-point position. And this is the tradition in India and Tibet. I think when it reached other countries, there were other traditions. The one I'm teaching you is in the original sutras, and that's the one that's followed in Tibet. Okay. Then you take your left hand and put it down first. Then you take your right hand and put it down on top of that. Okay. And you, in the Tibetan tradition, it's good if you can join your thumbs like that. And you have to adjust it, you know. If the thumbs keep falling down and you think about your thumbs and you're not thinking about your meditation, then for God's sake, let them fall down and don't worry about it, okay? The point is not to have anything about your posture that's ruining your meditation. The posture is meant to serve the meditation and not the meditation to serve the posture. We don't care how good you look. The point is that you should be comfortable. And you should be able to sit for a long time like that. If you feel more comfortable in a chair, then for goodness sakes, do it in a chair, okay? The main thing is to be able to leave your body and concentrate on your mind. So if a couch is better for you, then do it on a couch. If a chair is better, do it on a chair. If you'd rather stick your feet out, stick your feet out. The important thing is that you're not thinking about your legs, because that's not a worthy meditation object. Okay? And nobody cares how you look, okay? We're all supposed to be concentrating, right? We don't even know. Put down your left hand, then put down your right hand. Back should be straight. Face should be straight ahead like that, okay? If your chin goes up too high, you get distracted. If your chin goes down too low, you get sleepy. I noticed last week that a lot of you started out good, and then it started to go down. Okay. Gotta keep, it's like a military posture, okay? Like very straight. Right? Make sure one shoulder doesn't go higher than the other. Okay. Americans tend to get tense all day, and then they come in and meditate like that, you know? I had a teacher who taught me just go like that one, so I'll let it fall down. Doesn't matter whether you close your eyes or keep them open, whatever is more comfortable for you. If you tend to get sleepy by closing them, then open them a bit. If you tend to get distracted because they're open, then close them. If you're halfway through a meditation and you get distracted, then close them. And if you're halfway through the rest and you get sleepy, then open them. Okay. Don't look straight ahead if you open them. Keep your eyelids halfway down like that. And gaze downwards, okay? Like if you put your two hands like this, you should see the two hands and then let them go. And don't focus on whatever's there, you know? Like especially don't put newspapers or books in front of your eyes, because New Yorkers' eyes love to go to headlines and read them, you know? Should be plain, like plain red, plain green, like put a cloth in front of you and the color is plain. We're going to do a little breathing meditation just to get used to it, okay? In ancient India and in Tibet, breathing meditation was a way to get into your mind and get deep into your mind. And then you switch to a meaningful object because your breath is not meaningful. I mean, cows, rabbits, and other animals are always focusing on their breath. They don't get enlightened, okay? Breathing is a method to get your mind concentrated, and then you move to some other important thing. But breathing itself is not a goal. Everybody breathes, not everybody gets enlightened. So must be we have to do something else. So right now, though, to get the mind into neutral, we're going to do some breathing meditation. We went over it last week. It says watch your breath. Watch your breath means focus on the skin here. Right at the front of the nose, okay? Right at the opening of the nostrils. Focus on this little skin here and feel the air going back and forth, okay? When I say watch your breath, what I mean is your eyes are closed and you're feeling the touch of the air as it touches the front of your nostril. I'm not even saying be aware of it as it moves down into your nose. You know, that's another meditation. This meditation, you just focus on the air on these two rings. I call them the two donuts right here, okay? And you're focusing all your attention, your whole mind is focused on these two rings. And you're feeling the touch of the air in the front of the nostrils. It's a little cool coming in. It's a little warm going out. You see, it's a touch thing. You're concentrating on how it feels for the air to touch your nose here. Okay? If your nose is stuffed up, you can breathe through your nose, mouth. But otherwise, the tradition is to breathe through your nose. Okay, and the tradition is to keep your mouth very relaxed and even cracked a bit if you like, if that's comfortable for you. I got buck teeth. It's easier for me. Okay, but it should be very loose and natural. Okay, all right, so we'll do some breathing meditation. It'll be about 5-7 minutes, which is a pretty long time. Try to keep your mind focused on these two rings here. If the mind goes out to the sitar music across the street or to the taxi that's going to honk in a few minutes, just bring it back. Don't get flustered. Just calmly bring it back to your nose, okay? And all you have to do for the next 5 minutes is to watch the front of your nose and don't think about anything else. I had a great Burmese meditation teacher that the Dalai Lama told us to go study with him. And he said, especially don't think about monkeys. Okay, and then we all did. Anyway, think about the front of your nose. You have nothing else to do for the next 5 or 10 minutes, okay? Until I make some kind of noise, you got nothing else to do. Try to be perfectly still. Okay, try not to, every time you move, it bothers somebody next to you. Okay, so get comfortable now. If you want to stick your feet out any way you want, do it. If you got to adjust your cushion, do it now. Keep your back very straight. And try to make it go quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. You got nothing else to do except watch your nose. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Relax a bit, okay. Generally, when you do that breathing meditation, later on you can start counting the breaths, okay? And normally we count 10 breaths at a time. The out-breath is the first half, and the in-breath is the second half, okay? So it's not like in America where you breathe in and then out and that's one breath. It's very important. It's a tradition in Indian Buddhism and Tibet to breathe, to count the breath by counting the first half as the out-breath and then the second half as the in-breath. And then you see if you can concentrate on your breath up to the count of 10. And without the mind getting distracted to another object. Now, somebody slams a door downstairs or something, or the phone rings, your mind's going to go to it. And the point is to bring it back before you lose count. Right? So the mind will, you'll be at 3.5, and then the phone will ring. And your mind, you can't stop your mind. Your mind will go to the phone and then bring it right back. And if you bring it right back, they say you don't have to count over again. But if you sit there on the phone with your mind and wonder who's calling, and you lose your account, then you have to start over again. And I know pretty good Buddhists who have gone through like a week without getting to 10. Okay, or they went to 12 because their mind got distracted again. Okay, so the point is to get to 10 and then stop. All right? Personally, I find that 3 rounds of 10 is good for getting into the meditation. Okay, if you can do 10, do like three of those, which makes a total of 30 breaths. And then your mind will be ready to start meditating. Okay, I'm going to teach you tonight two other warm-up practices that you should do before you actually start your meditation. We're not going to get to the real meditation tonight, but I want you to practice the breathing. Okay, so when you go home, practice the breathing meditation. By the way, it's very important that you meditate the same time every day. Okay, it should be a habit. It should be like, I told people last week, I worked in this company in 15 years, and lunch was at 1 o'clock. And so it didn't matter where I was in the world. I could be in India, but 1 o'clock New York time, my stomach started to growl, you know. And I used to take a nap on the bus at 5:45, and no matter where I was, if I was in a puja in India, in the monastery, I'd fall asleep at 5:45, you know. And it's important to do it at the same time every day, okay? So it just becomes a habit. Then your body gets used to the rhythm, and it has a great effect on your day. Your day will go much better. You'll be much happier during the day, much calmer. That's not the goal of meditation, but it's a good byproduct if you do it every single day. Every single day at the same time, your body gets used to going into meditation. Okay, so that's much better than like on Saturday you do it for 3 hours or something like that. It's like jogging or like playing tennis or playing music or dancing or whatever. If you do it at the same time, a little bit every day, it's much better than some noble effort on the weekend. Okay, you're going to miss a day or two, but don't worry about it. But it's very weird that your mind will talk you into different reasons why you should miss a day. And you just don't listen to him, okay? Time to shut up, all right? And go meditate. Okay, your mind will come up with 10 different reasons why you don't have to do it today and it's okay to do it tomorrow. And you just say, no, we're doing it today, all right? And you get into the habit like that, okay? I'm going to talk about one more, the preliminary practice, which is called refuge, taking refuge. This is like a statement that of why you're meditating. And it's a decision at the beginning of the meditation session. I'm going into meditation because of this. You know, I want to learn meditation because of this. Okay? And every time you meditate, you spend a few minutes and you say, I'm going to meditate because of this. Okay? What does refuge mean? In very basic terms, you have to figure out why you're doing this meditation. If you do that every time you meditate, the first thing you do when you sit down is, first you breathe, right? You do your breathing meditation. Then when you're done with that and your mind is already pretty low, pretty level, then you say, okay, why am I doing this meditation? Okay. And the reason is very simple and very clear. The reason to do Buddhist meditation is to do something about your suffering. Okay, what does suffering mean? You know, Buddhists have this thing. Everything is suffering, you know, and it seems very mystical and very weird and very pessimistic, you know. Like, I heard people say to His Holiness, you know, it's very pessimistic to talk about suffering all the time. There's good things in the world too, you know. And He just giggles all the time, you know. Like, He doesn't look like He's suffering that bad. I don't know. And He said, well, you feel a lot happier if you just face it and stop trying to avoid it. You know, admit what's going on. Okay? And it's very, very simple. You can count all the good things in your life. Some people on one hand, some people on two. Okay? Count all the good things about your life. You know, forget all the crap. We don't have to talk about that. Take all the good things about your life. You know, I'll think about my own life. Like, I'm still pretty healthy. I have a good mind. I had a good training from my teachers. I'm a monk. You know, I teach classes. I enjoy the classes. I have a lot of good Dharma friends. I have a very nice family, you know, and all these are all the good things in my life. I have great students, you know, and then I can count all those things. Then how many things of those do you have to lose? You know, I have to lose my health. I have to lose my brain. I have to lose the training I had. Well, that's a different thing. But anyway, I have to leave my students someday. I have to leave all my friends someday. I have to leave my teacher someday, unless I do something special, okay? I'll have to leave my job someday. I'll have to lose every single thing I own, all the things I worked for in my life, okay? My house, my friends, my clothes, my car, my bank account, my 401k, my credit cards, whether they're paid off or not. I'll have to leave everything, you know? You can't keep anything. And it's very simple. I don't have to say anything more than that. There's nothing good about your life. Nothing that you will not have to leave. And there's no one that you care about in this world that you will not be torn away from. Period. And the reason to meditate is to do something about that. Okay? That's the reason to meditate. When you sit down to meditate every morning, if it's just to feel good, it's not going to get you there. Okay? You have to sit down, and the first thing you do your breathing meditation to bring your mind down calm. And then say, why am I doing this meditation? Because all these things are going to happen, and I don't want them to happen. I want to see if I can do something about it. Okay? And Buddhism says you can. That's what Buddhism says. So the purpose of meditation is not to be calm. It's not to be like smiley all day. The real deep purpose of meditation is, can you do something about the condition of old age and death and sickness? You know, is it possible for you to actually change those events into something else? You know, and that's the reason to meditate. And that's the reason to have this class. And that's the reason to study Buddhism. And it's nothing less than that. Okay? And I'm not exaggerating. You can affect your death. You can affect what happens to the people around you. You can affect what world you live in. You can actually change them. Even your death, you can change it into something else if you meditate well. And if you can't meditate, you can't do those things. Okay? And that's what Buddhism is for. You know, I don't know, there's a lot of Buddhist classes going on in the United States. There's a lot of different kinds of Buddhism. They will teach different things in those classes. You know, watch your breath, be happier. You know, learn to concentrate. You can sit for 4 hours. Do this exercise. Your legs will feel better and your back will feel better. That ain't what I'm talking about, you know. I'm talking about when you sit down to meditate, it's with the intention of doing something about your death and the aging process of your body and whether or not you will eventually have to leave your family and the people you love. Okay? According to real Buddhism, you know, what the Buddha taught, you can change those things. You can actually change those things. These pictures of these beings who went there are real. They're not just like some pretty weird thing that they made up, you know. Those beings exist. And they used to be like you and me, you know. And then they did something. And they went to a different place. And they can be with their people that they love. And they can stop the aging process. And they don't have to die. They're not like us, okay. And they used to be like us. And they studied and they practiced. And that's the goal of meditation. So when you sit down, don't shortchange yourself. You know, the reason you're meditating is to reach some kind of... By the way, some guy told me, that's okay, but I don't like the bump they have on their head. You know, and their belly is too big, and I don't like the long ears either. And they look kind of Indian to me, you know. Don't worry, when you get to that level, you can look like whatever you want, okay? Like, we'll look like Playboy or whatever, you know. Whatever you like, you will be, you know. And I'm not kidding, and your body will be made of light. And it will be extraordinary. These are lousy things drawn on paper, you know. But the real thing is everything you ever dreamed of, and you can reach that. But you must learn to meditate. So the first thing you do when you sit down to meditate, I'm meditating for that. Okay? And there's a time limit. You got to do it before you die. Okay? Like you got time between now and then, you can do something. It's delicate. It takes great skill and training and devotion to pull it off before you die. But you can. You know what I mean? But you got to, every time you meditate, every time you sit down, you got to say, you know, that's what I'm working on here. That's the stakes. That's what's at stake here. You know, and you have to meditate for that reason. Okay? It's not to improve your back or your posture or, we're talking about moving into a totally different kind of reality and a different kind of being before it's too late and you die. Okay? And the stakes are that. So you sit down and you take refuge. Take refuge means, so now when we practice on Monday nights, I'll say, take refuge. After we do the breathing, right? I'll say, okay, now everybody take refuge. And what you do is you say, I have to die. I have to lose everything I care about. It's inevitable. I want to do something about it. That's why I'm going to meditate. You know? This guy's up there, he says, maybe I can pull that off. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But nobody else in the world is even talking about it. You know, maybe there's a 5% chance he's right, but there's a 0% chance outside of here. Okay? They're not even mentioning it, you know. Give me 5% odds, okay? It's still worth it to be here. Because outside there's no odds at all. They don't talk about, you know, doing this before you die. Okay? So in your mind you have to say, that's why I'm meditating. And that's taking refuge. So when I say take refuge, it's going to be a code word, right? And you're going to think, why am I sitting here today? I want to see if I can change my way of existing through this meditation. And that's got to be a little mental exercise you have to do every morning before you meditate. Okay? So we're going to do breathing again. I want you to keep practicing the breathing. And then when I say, take refuge, you're going to say, what did that crazy guy say? Let me see. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get old. I'm going to lose everything. Maybe I can do something about it. You know, like that. Okay? So try, get comfortable, okay? If your knees are not comfortable right now, then stick your feet out, please. Alright? Get comfortable. And after you take your position, don't move, okay? It's gonna be about 5-10 minutes, okay? Again. And once you take your position, even just out of consideration for the people around you, totally quiet. Don't make a twitch. Okay? When I was first learning to meditate, the guy would kick us out of the room if we even moved the light a bit. You know, I don't do that because I close my eyes. Okay, everybody ready? We'll do breathing for about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. I want you to practice it. If you can, try to count it. Remember the out-breath is the first half and the in-breath is the in-half. Second half, if you get distracted for a number, you know, if you get up to three and then you, by the time you remember, it's already a couple breaths later, you got to start over again, okay? Promise? Be honest, okay? But don't be anal about it, okay? Like, if you can come back between 2.5 and 3.5, it's okay. Right? Otherwise, you'll be here all night. And then when I say take refuge, you start really powerfully thinking, why am I doing this stupid meditation? Okay? Okay. Okay, go ahead. And now take refuge. And think about why you're meditating. Okay, relax, take a break. I'm going to talk about the third step. After you do your breathing and after you do refuge, and then we'll stop, okay? We'll do one little short one before we start. The next step is called bodhicitta. And it's a special kind of feeling about other people. And it makes your meditation go really well. And just after you take refuge, you go through another train of thought, you know, and it takes just a few minutes, you know. Normally it's just 10 breaths, okay? It would just be 10 breaths long. Because in America, you have to finish this whole shtick before, in about 45 minutes, right? Because you got to go to work. And it doesn't help to sit and try to meditate for 2 hours. You can't, okay? 45 minutes is not bad. It's about 10 or 15 minutes to get warmed up. It's about half an hour in meditation, and then there's a little bit when you come out. And your sessions, if that's all you do in a day, that's great, okay? It's very hard to get that much time in a day. Later on, if it's comfortable, you can do a little bit in the evening also, okay? But start out, your goal should be about, maybe half an hour meditation in the morning, okay? After you finish taking refuge, which is just think over in your mind, you know, why am I doing this meditation? It's because there's some chance it will help me escape the problem of death and maybe be able to move into, you can go to other realms, you can live there. You don't have to live in this kind of a body. This, by the way, according to Buddhism, this kind of a body is a mistake that you made a long time ago. This is the result of some mistake you made a long time ago. You didn't have to be in a body like this, okay? and you can change it. This one doesn't work. This one's defective, okay? It's like it's a lemon, okay? You know, it's going to get cancer or HIV or something. You can't stop, you can stop it, but if you don't do something, it's going to get something. It will kill itself. Even if you don't get anything, it will kill itself, okay? It's designed to kill itself. Not a good body to be in. We'd rather be in a different one. And you can move into a different kind of body. That's what these pictures are. And they're real, okay? There are beings like that, and you can go there. You can reach that. Okay? It doesn't hurt at all. It's very nice, and you can still be with your friends and your family, okay? It's amazing. It's a nice solution to everything. But all of those changes take place in meditation, okay? The movement between different levels, and levels you cannot see now, takes place in meditation. You must learn to get into meditation. Okay? It doesn't happen out on the street. It doesn't happen at work. Okay? It happens, it's triggered by certain events in meditation. So you have to learn to meditate. It's almost like a tool and not a goal in itself. Okay? The places you want to go, you can only get there if you meditate. Okay? And you have to learn to meditate well. The next step in the warm-up is to think, if you got really good at this stuff and it started to work, how proud you would be to be able to teach it to other people. See what I mean? How nice it would be that you could teach it to the people you love and the people you care about. You know, we don't believe in Buddhism that you should irritate other people by proselytizing. We're not allowed to do that. But if you had someone close to you that you love, and if it was the right time and the right place and you thought they might be interested, and if you knew how to do all this stuff and you were already getting some amazing results from it, think how nice it would be to help them. Like, think how, what a gift it would be to give the people you love the gift of not dying and not getting old. I mean, that would be something extraordinary. If you could do it, if you could learn it, and if you could get pretty close to doing it yourself, then imagine what it would feel like to be able to help other people. Imagine what it would feel like to be able to give that gift to other people. You know, it would be the best thing in your life forever. You know, it'd be like the greatest event in your whole life would be to give that gift to another person. You know? And so, it'd be one thing to get there yourself, but to imagine what it would be like to give it to other people, that skill, but that method of not dying, you know, of not getting old, not suffering anymore, not having any bad thought or any bad thing ever happen to them again. Imagine if you could give that to someone. You know, imagine if you had the ability to do that. And that's the next meditation. It's a very cool fantasy, okay? Buddhism says even if it's not true, it's still a good way to think, you know, and it happens to be true. Okay? So that's called bodhicitta. That state of mind, that fantasy, which is not a fantasy, it's real, that, hey, if I could learn to do this, then I could teach other people. You know, I could really help the people I care about. Okay? And that's called bodhicitta. Right? So we're going to do a very short breathing meditation again. And then practice that one. You know, it's just that. It's like, if I could learn to do that, who would I go to first? You know, I mean, everybody has their own person in their mind. You know, might be your pet dog or something. I don't know. But think about it. You know, who would you go to first? If like one day you woke up out of meditation and you figured out how to become a different kind of being, then you'd be all excited and you say, "Now I got to go teach." You know, and decide who it's going to be and get that emotion, how it feels. You know, how good it feels. It's really, really exciting to imagine that you could do it, and you can. Okay, you can do it. Think of what a wonderful gift it would be to call someone on the phone and say, "Hey, I got something for you. Could you come over?" You know, all right. No, really. Okay, think about it. And that is the next part of this warm-up. Okay, we're just getting warmed up for the real meditation. So do a little bit of breathing meditation. And when I say bodhicitta, think about bodhicitta. Then go into that idea, you know, hey, come on over. You got time tomorrow around 6. I'll show you something, you know. Okay? Think about it. And then we'll stop. Okay? Now, I'll take a few questions if people have questions after that. Okay? So get comfortable. By now, maybe you want to stick your legs out, okay? You've been holding out, right? If you got to stick your legs out, just stick them out. Don't be shy. Be comfortable. I do not want you meditating on your knees. You got to meditate on bodhicitta, right? Okay. You can't do both, by the way. Okay, so start with breathing meditation, all right? Put your mind on those two donuts. And don't let them leave those two donuts. Don't let your mind leave those two donuts. Okay, think about bodhicitta and think about whom you would give this gift. Okay, relax. Any quick questions? We have about 2 or 3 minutes. No? Yeah. Her question is, it doesn't sound like traditional taking of refuge, what I described. That's exactly, there's about 100 different meanings of taking refuge. It's a study in the perfection of wisdom scriptures that we do in the monastery for 12 years. And the first section is on taking refuge. It's a very, very deep subject. Very, very deep subject. And you have to study that. But that's the basic motivation. Is that now what you take refuge in? Is really. I mean, I'm a little technical, okay? The three objects of refuge, the three kinds of Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, all have to do with the meditation on emptiness. Okay? The real Dharma, the real Buddha refuge is meditating on the emptiness of the Buddha. The real Dharma refuge is anyone who has seen emptiness directly. That state of mind is called Dharma refuge. And then Sangha is anyone who has seen emptiness directly, real Sangha. And then there are what we call symbolic Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Symbolic Buddha is pictures like these are symbolic Buddha. Symbolic Dharma is the books up there, those scriptures. Symbolic Sangha is anyone who wears red robes or saffron robes. But they're only representing the real ones. And ultimately, that's your refuge. That takes a couple of days to explain. Okay, but ultimately it boils down to that. Yu shen la ranto ki punyan de rewa chawi semba jamdo yu tini. That's the definition of taking refuge. And it's pretty much what I just taught. Okay, but you have to, it's a long study. That's not a bad place to start for the motivation to take refuge. Is that your own death. Okay? And it has to be before you start a meditation. You have to think, why am I meditating? And that, then you can put some energy into your meditation. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Oh, I can't get away. He's asking, should you set an alarm clock or something like that? A couple of answers to that. First one is, don't have a clock in the room that ticks. It'll drive you crazy. But you'll find that out quickly. So it should be a battery-driven thing, okay? I tell people they should travel with two things, their meditation cushion and their alarm clock, okay? And what that does is it normally, if you're a normal American, you are meditating before work. And it's very, very distracting if your mind keeps going to, am I late yet or not? You know, because you're always starting late, right? And you got to have breakfast, right? So there's certain priorities. It's very good to set an alarm. It's very, very good. Because then your mind won't, there won't be a corner of your mind trying to figure out what time it is. You know what I mean? After you get used to it, you can stop using it. Because exactly after 45 minutes, you know, your mind will go to breakfast. And, you know, but it's very, very good. I think on more advanced retreats or longer meditations, an alarm clock becomes an obstruction. Because what happens if you're 44 minutes into it and you suddenly start having some beautiful realizations, you know? And then that thing's going to go off. So you have to, but for a normal American, daily practice, before you go to work, it's great to have an alarm clock. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or you can set a tape recorder next to you, like tape a whole session. 45-minute session. We have lots of those tapes. Ask her. Raise your hand. Yeah. You know, if you want to just put on a tape and it will guide you, you know what I mean? You can do it that way. Or I encourage people after the warm-up to shift their position if they have to. So you might want to set the warm-up for like 15 minutes and then do half an hour of deep meditation. And you can do it that way too. Okay. So we'll do a short ending prayer. When we do this prayer, you have to think that all the good karma we collected tonight, a lot of good energy here. We collected the most powerful kind of karma, which is mental karma. You know, 30 people collected the mental karma of thinking about not dying and turning somebody else onto it. No one else in New York today had that thought, probably. Seriously. So, maybe. So, it's extremely powerful karma you just collected. You entertained the possibility that you could stop your death and your old age. Okay? And that's such a holy thought, and it's maybe the only people who thought about it today in New York City. So we send that karma out to help other people. Okay? In your mind, say, I just collected this extraordinary mental karma, and I'm going to send it out to help other people in this city, for example. Right? And that's what this prayer is, all right? Ready? Yo,